Great. So it's 2 past the hour, so I think we should get started. I know a few people are still getting connected, but hopefully we'll have everyone on soon. As usual, we will do the roll call based on the Adobe Connect roster, and the Secretariat is taking care of that. But if there's anyone who is on the call but who is not in Adobe Connect, can I ask you to make yourself known right now? Okay, sounds like everyone is on in Adobe Connect, so that's great. You can see in the projection the agenda. We have a 2-hour call planned for today and lots of material to get through, starting with a discussion about the letter that Patrick and Muhammad and myself received from NTIA. We'll go through the CWG proposal pre-assessment. Wolf Ulrich will lead that discussion. We'll talk about the response that we got from Crocker, the ICANN board chair, concerning our statement about contracts. And then at the 90-minute mark, actually that might be before agenda item number 3, at the 90-minute mark, we will lose our interpreters. So we should try to get through, I think, as much of the substantive discussion as we can in the first 90 minutes. And then we will have, at the end of the call, some administrative issues, the approval of the minutes and the future meeting and teleconference schedule and so forth. And we put those at the end because we knew that we'd be losing the interpreters at that time. So does anyone at this point have other items that they want to add or any comments on the agenda? Please raise your hand in Adobe Connect.
Arisa, we cannot hear the quiet one. I'm sorry.
Okay, I can try to speak up.
Arisa, this is Daniel. I can hear you loud and clear perfectly.
Okay, well, that's good. It's hopefully not a problem on my end. Okay, no agenda bashing, so we will go forward with the five items that we have, starting with the letter that we received from NTIA. So the Secretariat will show the letter. I think everyone is pretty familiar with it. It's been out for a while now, just a couple weeks. So I think the main the question to us from NTIA is to get more information about the status of the transition plan and the time frame. And there's really, I think, just a couple of items that I wanted to get through to kind of prep the discussion, and then I'd really like to get everyone's opinions on how we go about responding to this letter. And I put all of these in an email that has been shared on the list some time ago. So I think, first of all, we have a sort of logistical question about, we don't want to just respond on behalf of ourselves. We want to have community input into that response. And so we've had some discussion of, us as representatives of the various constituencies being able to go out to our communities and sorry, I have a crying baby at home still with me.
You can also hear that.
You can hear her. Yeah, she's not sure about the Iana condition at the moment. maybe if Patrick or Muhammad could take this one over in terms of prepping the discussion a little bit, and I'll try to calm her down and jump back on in a second.
She's speaking on behalf of the entire internet community.
So this is Patrick speaking, taking over temporarily for Alisa. So we have received this letter, and as you have seen by reading the letter, we are asked to, one can interpret, of course, this letter in multiple ways. My personal reaction was that they asking for an updated timeline, and we have discussed sort of the timeline on the mailing list. The one thing to notice in this letter is that the timeline is to not only, as we have discussed before, included the time that we need before between now and when we have our proposal ready to be delivered to NTIA. It is also to include the time that we have absolutely no idea how long time it is, which is the time that NTIA might need for implementation on whatever they're doing on their side, but also the implementation time that the operational communities actually need. So to some degree, they ask for NTIA from our perspective to ask for some input on the thinking that we might have. And let me open the discussion after just stating that I have heard so far in the ITG that all of us do believe that if it is the case that we do not manage to fulfill everything that we are required to do, which we now understand includes also the NTA time and also the time the operation communities need before September 30, then we need some extension. But I have also understood that if it is the case that we need extension of what is actually needed and not more, which means shorter time period than 2 years, which means that I do think that we already before have been talking about a potential extension of shorter time than 2 years. I do see some comments already in the comments, but I would like to open up here for some input from other people of ICG that have been thinking about the timeline, please. Lord Fulridge, please.
Yes, thanks, Lord Fulridge speaking. Patrick, I have at first, for the full understanding of the process here, question with regards to the how are we going to answer these NTIA questions with regard to the timeline. I understand the NTIA has sent two letters, one to us, to the ICG, and the other one to the CWG. So that's what I understand that means. So we are seen as caretakers in this respect also for the CWG stewardship, CRISP, and the IETF team as well. So that's my understanding. So the question here is at first, so am I right here, or how is this to be seen?
Thank you, Roland Fulrich. My understanding is exactly the same as yours, is that that we are the ICG. We got the question, and to be really, really picky here and detailed, the letter was not really sent to the ICG. It was sent to us, the chairs, that are supposed to respond to what we believe is the actual timeline. Now, we have an agreement within the ICG that we as chairs do not speak up unless we do have a backing from the ICG as a whole. One could, of course, question whether that is the same kind of consensus that is needed as if ICG speaks, but I really hope that we don't have to go into those details. That said, under the umbrella of the letter that was sent to us, my interpretation when receiving this letter is exactly the same as yours, which is that we have to take into account the time that all three operation communities do need for the implementation of whatever they are proposing. While the other letter that is sent to the chairs of the CCWG accountability they have to take care of the implementation of whatever they need for the IANA transition portion of their work, which, according to what they've explained to us, is the implementation of whatever they are having under what they call the track one, or whatever wording they are using. Mm. So I think my interpretation is the same as yours.
Okay.
Alyssa, please.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, I just sort of further elaborate, I think, on the logistics of us getting a response back to NTIA. I think what would make sense if we're targeting, you know, being able to get a response back to NTIA shortly after ICANN 53, which is, I think, you know, was kind of mentioned in the letter as a suggestion for when they want the input back. I think we should take the time between now and then as, you know, representatives to the protocol parameters and the numbers communities should be able to go back and obtain, you know, some input about implementation timelines from those two communities. And then I think if we could do that with the names community too, that would be great. Obviously, it's probably a little harder to provide an estimate of implementation when the plan is less finalized. But essentially, I think we as representatives can go out to our own communities to get input, in particular about the implementation time frame, which we haven't discussed very much, and bring that back in time for the ICG to compile all of that and discuss it in our face-to-face meeting prior to Buenos Aires, and fold that into our response. So that's what I would propose that we do, and Paul and I had a little back and forth on the mailing list about doing that. So we'll be interested if other people think that's an acceptable path forward in terms of getting input from the operational communities.
Yes, thanks also for clarification. And so the understanding is, so we have the same understanding on this. So with regards, one major point I see with regards to the timeline, this is the question of implementation, or let me say the kind of level about the implementation, which has to be already worked out in the proposal we are going to forward to the NTIA. In other words, saying so, I understand on the one hand the letter asking for the at first for the proposal and then the implementation phase of the proposal. On the other hand, if I look to the CWG proposal at the time being on public comment, they are talking about a kind of transition framework which must be further developed into a detailed, fully functional transition plan after the transition. So the question for me is, I'm not very clear at the time being about that, whether this is the kind of implementation they mean, or is it the plan for implementation, or what is behind that. So there is a little bit, for me, not clear at the time being as to what extent the proposal has to include parts or to cover the plan for the implementation as well, and to what extent, and how that affects and impacts the timeline. So this is an open point which I also put into the assessment which we are going to talk about later, and I think we should discuss that. Maybe some of the people who are closer to the CWG as I am, so could have some comments on that. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that. I think we are diving into the details in a way that I think is important for us to discuss. But I think to be able to respond to the letter, at least my interpretation of the letter, is to more or less be able to respond whether we do believe that, for example, an extension is needed, yes or no, and whether the extension should be for 2 years or whether it should be a shorter time period, and not much more detail than that, because the response that we are supposed to give, of course, we don't want to go back, as in many of the budget and other kind of resource allocation processes that all of us have been into. We don't really want to say something now and then change our mind in 3 months and say something different. So I think the question on the letter is more or less to give some kind of indication to NGA on what we do believe, given the multi-stakeholder bottom-up process that we are sort of the part of the multi-stakeholder process that we are sort of the top of, if you understand what I mean, what we recommend to NGA to do with the contract. Nothing more, nothing less. And I think what I hear and what I do think is maybe that we need an extension, but then the question is how we're going to word that. And now I have lots of hands, so let me take one at a time. Paul, please.
Hi, it's Paul here. I've missed a little bit of the voice due to the connection here, so I hope you can hear me. About the extension, I would have thought that an extension of exactly 2 years is not what we want if we assume that the extension implies that the contract actually continues for that time. I had understood that an extension of the contract for a two-year period would still allow the NTIA to close it off, to cancel it, or to end it earlier, and that I understood was an essential part of this model. If it's not, and if an extension of 2 years implies a two-year contract, then I don't think that's in line with the general expectation of what we're doing here, because it puts us into a completely new territory, a new realm in terms of what could happen after 2 years. I have heard some talk that have lost track of the latest developments about the possibility of a shorter term extension of one or more extensions of only 3 months, for instance, which would seem to be much more preferable, much preferable to an extension of 2 years, even with an assurance that that a two-year extension could be ended earlier. I hope that's clear enough. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Daniel?
Yeah, this is Daniel. I agree with Paul. I think we should have some discussion, but it appears to me that a sort of blunt, normal two-year extension would send probably not the right signal back to the community. I have another thing that is a question in my mind. I'm personally a little bit concerned about the impression that we're making as a whole, as the multi-stakeholder bottom-up governance model in the community, in that we will have to admit that we will not make the deadline for a complete proposal. And I'm wondering quite personally whether in order to give a better impression and give less openings to our antagonists, it might be a good idea to propose going ahead with a partial implementation or a stepwise implementation, given that two of the communities are much further with their work and in some cases also have some implementation plans already. So I wonder whether at the ICG we would consider a staged implementation and transition in order to show some tangible progress. Again, in order to avoid the argument by others that we're just completely dysfunctional.
Thank you very much. Manal?
Yes, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, everyone, for this brainstorming. Just sharing my thoughts also because I'm a bit confused. So, for example, if the operational community say the implementation would take something like 6 months, so does this mean that the ICG submits the proposal to ICANN and then to NTIA, and then we have this period of evaluation that we don't know yet how long it would be through the U.S. government? And then if we say the implementation would take like 6 months, then this is going to be the duration of the extension? And, I mean, would everything just be ready at the same time? Is it like an on-off switch that we're going to have it on a certain date? The contract expires and then everything is implemented in place? Or, I mean, how would this work in practice? And then if the contract could be cancelled earlier than whatever period is agreed for, if this is an option also, or we would be committed to whatever implementation time that's going to be shared through the operational communities. But again, my understanding is that the implementation would map one-to-one with the contract extension, right? Hello?
Yes. Can you repeat what your actual question is, please?
I was asking whether the implementation, the timeline for the implementation would map one-to-one with the extension.
So, Patrick, do you mind if I jump back in here?
Please.
There's privilege, I guess. So, there's essentially three different phases that we need to pass through, I think, before the contract will expire. The proposal needs to be finalized, sent to NTIA. The U.S. government needs to evaluate it, and the plan that is detailed in the proposal needs to be implemented. And at the end of those three phases, then my understanding of the letter from NTIA is that at the end of those three phases, the contract can be allowed to expire. And so I think what we need to focus on are the two pieces of that that are within the control of the communities, and those are the finalization of the proposal itself and the implementation. As I think as Patrick was alluding to, I don't want us to get too wrapped up in, you know, providing some guidance as to exactly how the contract should expire and if it should have multiple, you know, further expiry periods or options to extend and so forth, right? Those are mechanics that I think NTIA is going to take care of. What they've asked us for is input about the pieces of the puzzle that we actually have control over and how much time we think they are going to take. And I think, again, those two pieces are finalizing the proposal itself, which, you know, we're hoping to do sometime between now and the fall, and a lot of that is on the ICG to figure out how much time we need to do that, so we can certainly talk about that. And then implementing what actually gets written down in the proposal. And I think under that umbrella, that includes things like, you know, setting up new entities if they don't already exist and amending bylaws and doing all of those things and setting up agreements if they don't already exist. And that's where we need input from the operational communities to understand how long they think those steps will take. I don't think we need to, you know, give NTIA a calendar of when we think all these things will happen, because there are the U.S. government evaluation period will happen in between there. And so, you know, they just want the input about the pieces that we have control over, not necessarily, you know, a date when we say this is when we think your contract can expire. Hopefully that makes sense.
Kavus, I saw that you actually had your hand up before the others, so please, I would like to give the word, the time to you, please.
Doesn't matter, Patrick. In question of NTIA in its second paragraph towards the end, the question contains two parts. One part would be how long it takes to finalize the transition plan, and the second part, and implementing. We have to separate the issue of the transition plan and the issue of implementation of it. The transition plan is something that ICG would be in a good position to answer. The implementation plan, I think ICG has no role to talk about the implementation time, because it's mainly depend on CCWG and CWG. I think it is not appropriate that ICG take any responsibility to guess or guesstimate or estimate timeline for implementation. We should talk about transition plan and add element of implementation and indicate implementation depends on the two other communities or two other entities, CCWG and CWG. CCWG, according to the timeline today, their implementation time is 16 June 2016. But it has not clearly mentioned whether all areas that CWG has asked would be available before that time or would need to be in that time limit of 16 June 2016. Therefore, I suggest that we limit ourselves to our transition plan and we add that depending on the implementation, this would be the answer to the question. We should not talk how long the contract between NTIA and ICANN and AYANA should be extended. This is outside our mandate and this is outside our responsibility. And we should not accept to take such a big responsibility. We should indicate what we can do and we should indicate what the other people expected to do and leave it to them to discuss. And the same letter was sent to CCWG, and I'm sure that CCWG will reply, and based on that reply, we at the Buenos Aires meeting could review the situation and try to have something that, once again, we should not get into the matter of implementation. It is outside the ICG. It is more related to CCWG and CWG. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I understand that, and which I personally agree with, is that we should look at the time that we need as ICG to respond, and we should draw the conclusion given the context to which we operate in. Russ, please.
So if we look at these three phases, the first one is we need inputs from all of the communities. We're still waiting on one, so we need to get a feel for when CWG believes they will give us a proposal. Then we have some time to do our own work, and that's already on the chart that's being displayed, so we can add that. The timeline document we produce says that the implementation will begin as soon as the proposal is submitted, and that all of those things will run in parallel, except for the root zone approval process, which cannot be altered until the contract goes away. So the last little bit cannot actually be done until NTIA's contract ends. I think we need to explain that kind of waterfall process in any response that we send to NTIA.
Thank you very much. Martin?
Thanks, Patrick. Martin Boyle here. I'd like to go back initially to the comment that was made about failure. And I think that that, as a message, is entirely wrong. I think the amount of work that's been achieved in all the different communities, bearing in mind the complexity of the problem that they were facing, and bearing in mind the outreach and the number of people from quite disparate backgrounds that have been involved, the progress has been quite quite outstanding, bearing in mind that it's also being done very carefully. So I think when we talk, we really should be talking about the success of the process, certainly of the good work of the process, and not diss our colleagues as we're going through this process. And the other comment earlier that I'd like to pick up on is about proposing a staged transition. I think the NTIA have already said more than clearly that that is not an option for them. Right, now turning to the discussion on the NTIA letter, I think really that we've got all, we haven't got all the pieces, but we know who to go to ask to get the various elements that we can then put in together and try and identify what that solution, what that timescale will actually be. And in fact, I disagree with the idea that we shouldn't be asking them in that, and them includes ICANN, about some of the implementation timescales. Because it should be possible for them to work out on things like bylaw changes and the like. The, obviously, the one we can't ask about is the NTIA timescale, but in fact, once we have put a proposal to NTIA and they are working through it, there's no reason why ICANN and other involved parties cannot already start to make sure that they have got all the bits and pieces lined up so that bylaw changes or setting up new corporate structures can be done relatively quickly. So if we take all those bits together, so long as we've asked the right questions about how long the various bits are going to take place, it should be relatively easy to use our own timescale, put it all together, and come up with at least a best case scenario of when we think that everything would be ready, so long as NTIA gives the go ahead by that date. So I would be very, very cautious about sort of turning around and saying, oh, well, we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we can't do the other. We are actually supposed to be a coordination group. I think we should be going out and reaching out to the various partners and getting them to identify the elements and for us then to put them together. The only other comment I'd make is that the cross-community working group on names, the last chart that I've seen from them is that they believe that they will be able to get us the proposal on the 25th of June. That might be optimistic, bearing in mind There is still consultation and piecing together the bits from consultation, but I think we do have to work on the basis of what they think is going to be achievable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ross? Ross Mundy?
Are you hearing me? I thought I was off of
mute. Yes.
Mute? Okay, good. I wanted to comment earlier on an input from Kupus that I believe he said, if I understood correctly, that the implementation aspects would really only be relevant to the what comes from the CWG and the CCWG names. And I don't believe that that is actually accurate. I think that there will be implementation details from the other operational communities that are much, much smaller, probably less of an impact, but I think they do have to be considered, whether they are the contract that has been identified in the CRISP proposal, or some of the things that have come back from the IETF. I think that as a coordination group and some of the discussion in the chat room, our job really does include to getting inputs from all of the operational communities on the implementation of their plans as they best know them at the point in time. And to me, it's clear only one question that is asked in the NTIA letter that we have an answer for. Can we make the original deadline? And I think we all know we cannot. But I don't think we want to explicitly say a contract extension of X amount, whatever X might be, should be asked for. I think that is something we should leave for the NTIA to decide. We should tell them what we know, what we believe to be our best estimates, and let them decide what to do with the contract aspect.
Thank you very much. Milton? Milton, I don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. This is Milton Mueller, for the record. So building on the point that Russ just made, we've been having a very vigorous conversation about what level of extension would be required, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, and so on. I'm asking first, I don't think that's what we're being asked by the NTIA, is it? They didn't say to us, how much of an extension do you think you need? I think what they're trying to get from us is a sense of the revised timeline, and they will decide how much of an extension is needed. As much as I wish we could say to them, don't extend it more than X amount because it looks bad, I don't think that we have any say about that. And I'll be happy to be corrected if I'm wrong about that, if somebody has any other information. The other point I wanted to make is that in all these discussions of timeline, I think we're ignoring kind of one very important aspect of this, and that is the possibility that there won't be consensus or there will be a perceived lack of agreement about the options, particularly at the stage where we submit it to NTIA. And that, to me, you know, we don't know whether this, what we now have is this August public comment period, whether that is going to produce agreement and consensus or whether it's going to require major revisions. We've thrown an additional month in there for revisions, which I think in the names case could be very optimistic. So I'm not sure. I guess the bottom line of my comment is, what are we supposed to tell NTIA, given the fact that we are not in control of this timeline? That's all for me.
That's it. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Thank you, Patrick. I just wanted to support what Russ Mundy and Martin were saying, and maybe I can try to respond to Milton as well. I think as a coordinating body and the body that received the letter inquiring about both the proposal finalization time and the time for implementation, we are, you know, certainly capable of gathering that information and sending it back to NTIA, even if we don't, you know, currently have it ourselves, you know, just amongst the 32 of us. And I would agree with Russ Mundy in saying that there's other pieces of the implementation that are outside the scope of the CCWG, and those need to be reflected back to NTIA. I guess I don't see much of a point in NTIA asking a question and then us just not providing an answer when we could easily go out to the operational communities and get the answer and send it back. And I think that's kind of what we are expected to do. So that's what I hope we would do. I think to Milton's question, we can do the best that we can do. We can't plan for every eventuality. And obviously if there's some piece of this that it fails to get consensus or requires major revision, then everything will take longer than what we predict. But I think, you know, we might as well try to estimate how long we think the finalization process will take under, you know, relatively good circumstances, allowing some time for edits and amendments and going back to the communities and so forth. And that's what I tried to put together on what's being shown in the screen. So I think it's perfectly reasonable for us to, you know, for a response from us to say something like, if you look at this, if you look at what's on the screen, well, our finalization process is going to take 4 months. It's likely to take 4 months from the time that we receive the names proposal, assuming everything goes relatively smoothly. And if we can go out to the communities and ask them and say, how long would it take you to implement your plan, assuming it gets approved unamended, and they come back to us and they say, oh, well, you know, negotiating an SLA probably takes 6 months or, whatever all of the changes that need to be made on the name side, these will probably take 6 to 9 months or give a range or something. That's the kind of information that I expect us to give back to NTIA, 4 months for proposal finalization and 6 to 9 months for implementation is our, rough guess right now here at NTIA. And as I think Milton and others said, to not focus on telling them how to extend the contract or not, but to instead focus on telling them how much time we think we need for the pieces that are under our control.
Thank you. Arashta, Kabus, please.
Yes, perhaps Russ Mundy misunderstood me, or I was not clear, any of the two. I did not say that we could not talk about implementation. Any accountability implementation is outside of our control. We have three communities, two of them almost, according to what they say, they do not need any kind of additional accountability because what they have today is covering the situation. But the third one, which is in Amy, requires accountability, which depends on the accountability of the CCWG on the ICANN budget, on community empowerment mechanism, on review and redress mechanism, and on appeal mechanism. These are the accountability that CWG asked CCWG and CCWG put in the overall suggestion, yet to be further developed, and for that, they do not have a specific date unless they have some guesstimate of 2016. So So I did not say that we should not talk about the transition plan and the implementation. The accountability-related implementation, we should be very, very cautious and would not involve ourselves with a process that is beyond of our control. And I ask Rasmundi to kindly not judge whether I am correct or I am not correct.
Whether thank you very much.
Well, I'm not accurate. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Kavus. And I think the message is received loud and clear. I also think personally that it is a good thing for us that the letter has been sent both to us and to the CCWT, because that means that each one of us can respond given the context which we operate in, and I think that is what you were encouraging. That's at least what I hear. Manal, please.
The contract. Thank you, Patrick. I just have two questions. I believe in response to the letter, we are going to be answering with the full duration that's needed for implementation. Now, regarding the final proposal itself, would this imply that the proposal also should include something about the details of the implementation or like a migration plan or transition plan, or this is supposed to be an internal working plan for the operational communities? So this is my first question. My second question is, now, to have the implementation timeline, we need to get input from the three operational communities. So we're dependent on input from CWG, and I believe the CWG is also dependent on input or coordination with the CCWG. So how would this work in terms of synchronization of timeline? Would the CWG be able to respond with the needed time for implementation prior to their final submission of their final proposal? I know we don't, we cannot answer on their behalf. I'm just flagging my concerns or my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal, to answer on your specific on your last point regarding CWG, the implementation time, and regarding how much they need to know from CWG regarding their the implementation of the CWG. I agree with you that we, of course, cannot look in our tea leaves and say what CWG needs. Whether they can respond or not is something that I think is part of the wish and interest that Alyssa suggests that we should try to interact and listen to CWG, what their view is. If their view is that they do not know and have no idea whatsoever because of external events, for example, CCWG, that is up to them to tell us. But so far they have not told us, which means that I think it's wrong for us to guess. So I think this is one of the reasons why I personally do think that interaction with the various operational communities through the informal connections that we have is what we should do between now and a week or two forward. Jaudong, please, and then Jean-Jacques, and then I think we are done, and I would like to see whether Alyssa can try to summarize or else I would do it. So Jaudong, please.
Yeah, this is Jaudong Li speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. Okay, this is Jaudong Li speaking. I have a quick comment. I think so. As a SCD member, we are on behalf of the community, and also we connect to the different community. So it's necessary for us to connect the necessary information about the implementation. So I think I do believe that there is a big concern about how to implement it and how long it will be implemented. Another comment that, you know, we cannot influence the decision by the U.S. government, but I think it's as a community representative, it's our duty to collect the acquisition of the community and just forward the message to them. We cannot make decision, but we can just forward the message. Yeah, it's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then I give the last speaker is Jean-Jacques, please.
Thank you, Patrick. This is Jean-Jacques. I'd like to just underline the fact that there is an ambiguity in the way the letter or letters were sent out by EIA, because the way they used the word implementation or to implement suggested that it was both the implementation as estimated by the communities, CWG, CCWG, etc., but also what would be necessary and the time which would be necessary for implementation by the U.S. government, meaning by NTIA itself. So I see here that there are really two different things. On the one hand, there is the necessity of an estimate of what our communities consider necessary for them, for their part, in order to arrive at implementation. And yes, I agree that on this part, as Patrick has suggested and others, we should have an interaction with our communities. But then, the second thing, and here I think we should be careful, we cannot do it, it is the final implementation by the U.S. government, which has its own constraints, political calendar, etc. So we cannot be in the business of second guessing. The NTIA or the U.S. Governor General, in their answer to NTIA, should perhaps point out this ambiguity, which is two things, and the use of the same word, implementation, in both cases, is not appropriate. Well, you can say that in a nicer way, but it is not a can only answer the first part, but we cannot and should not answer the second part. So I would very much like chairs to answer that.
Thank you very much. Alisa, please.
Okay, so attempting to summarize here, I think we have pretty good agreement that, you know, we know that we and the communities will require some amount of more time that will put us beyond the current expiry of the contract in September. I think as far as the tasks that we have before us in terms of responding to the letter, sounds like folks are okay with us as the community representatives going out to the communities to collect information about implementation timeframes. Although it also sounds like there's still some confusion as to, you know, what does it mean to implement, and what actually has to be, you know, which steps should be incorporated into that kind of timing. And so I think we probably need a little bit more discussion on that, unless people think that it's clear. But to me, you know, if I had to go out to the ICF community and say, okay, we're supposed to go tell the ICG how long it will take to implement our plan, I might well get questions from people saying, well, what do you mean by implement? And so perhaps we can refine that a little bit more in the coming days, and then as representatives ourselves go out to our communities and try to obtain that information. I think that might be a little tricky in the NAMES community as the plan itself is still under development, and that's fine. I don't think, again, that we need to rush a response back, and we'll have more information about the ability of the NAMES community to provide us that input I think, in a few weeks from now, once a lot of the intensive work and the public comment periods are over. So that's kind of what I would suggest going forward is that we try to refine a little bit this concept of implementation on the mailing list, and then decide to take it out to the two communities that have concluded their plans, and then kind of wait and see what happens with names and circle back on getting the implementation information from the names community when we see what's going on with the proposal itself. And then the other piece that we need to do that we didn't discuss today, but that we'll hopefully discuss on the list and on the next call, is what we're looking at on the screen, which is the amount of time that the people need as the ICG for the proposal finalization process. So that's still something that we need to agree on in terms of process, and we can continue that on the mailing list and on the next call. Did I miss anything, Patrick?
No, I think that's a good summary, and I don't have anything to add on that. Do you want to take over the call?
I can try. Actually, Wolf, okay. I think we're just turning it over to Wolf Ulrich now because our next topic is his pre-assessment. So we can turn it over to Wolf Ulrich.
Hello, Wolf Ulrich speaking. Yeah. So we are on the second topic with regards to the so-called pre-assessment of the CWG proposal. Just to remind you why we came or why this suggestion was made by myself. That was because of the timing issue. So in order, the thinking was how could we make use of the time of the during the public comment period. In order to find out or to assess whether the proposal could meet the criteria set and the NTIA has set, once it is finalized. So in this status, we understand all that the proposal is a draft proposal and it's on public comment period. It shall be sent out after the public comment period, again to the stakeholders, to the different advisory committees and the stakeholder groups, and there may be some more comments and some more work to be done on that proposal. Nevertheless, the target of this so-called pre-assessment was not to judge on the content of the proposal itself, rather than to try or to find out whether this may meet if it's really finalized after that, and possible then to come up with questions which could be sent to the CWG not through the public comment itself, but separately, if necessary, in order to guide them with regards to the expectation we may have with regards to that proposal. So that's the basis of the guideline I have seen when I tried to pre-assess the proposal. What I did then is I used the same format, the same sheet, as we have been doing with the TRIS proposal and with the IANA plan proposal, and went through the different questions and tried to find answers to them. I found out that some questions are not capable. I'm not capable to answer because it's an ongoing process still. But there was at the end one major question to me with regard to that proposal, and this is what we have been discussing here almost one hour right now the question with regards to the understanding of the level of implementation which should be covered already in this proposal before it could be sent out to the NDAA. The question is, well, just to avoid then that the NDAA might fire back or ask back, well, where the implementation is covered or the plan of the implementation and to what extent and to what detail. So this is, for me, an open point to that, and this is the major issue I've seen with that. With regards to all the other points of this pre-assessment, well, we can go through quickly, but you can see there are only little answers to that. For example, then let's go through that point. Am I in control of the screen, or is it just everybody is in control of the screen? Is the question to the operator?
I think we each have our own control.
Okay. So let's go just through the five pages. To the second page, consistency with the RFP requirements of openness and inclusiveness. So the first two questions have not been, they're not to be answered not yet, because we are still waiting for comments. Maybe there will be comments after the proposal is finalized. The question of definition of consensus can be answered. There is a definition of consensus in the proposal, and it is different from that how we have defined consensus, and there might be a common understanding necessary about that. But it is defined under the understanding of the CWG. Page number three, consensus is not yet achieved, naturally, because it's in progress. And then to the page number three, meeting the RFP requirements. We have set out in the assessment sheets some criteria against we are going to assess that, and the third criteria is the one I was already referring to, that is the question of proposed post-transition oversight and accountability arrangements. So this is the positive. What is going to be suggested here? And as I see it, there are two steps. The first step is a kind of frame proposal, which tells about how should the post-IANA should look like. And then a second step is seen and is necessary here, and this is the provision of a transition plan towards the successor of the IANA functions operator. And this plan should be developed after the transition within 18 months. So this is, for me, still the question here with regards to the question: is that enough here, or should be something done more before the transition takes place? Then, with regards to the NTIA criteria. I found personally that the criteria under the criteria could be fulfilled with that proposal. Now, others may be of different opinion, but that was my impression of that, and very. At the very end, the criteria with regards to the governmental potential governmental-led organization solution, this shall be under the present proposal not be the case because so the proposed structure is shall be not governmental-led. So that's it for the time being, how I saw it, and the only major question open to me and which I would, if I would have to say, I would put forward to the CWG is that with regards to the question of the implementation plan. So I was wondering in between, since I have sent out this pre-assessment, whether any comments could come in. There was no comment, not yet, on the list, but I'm open to any discussion and the question, what shall we do with that pre-assessment? Should we continue with that or leave it as it is and wait and see what's going to happen with the public comment period and then afterwards? Start with real assessments. So that's so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Milton.
Hello. Do I have the mic?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So, Wolf Ulrich, as you recognize, the proposal not being finished yet, you did about as much as you could do. I just had questions about certain parts of this that puzzled me. Obviously, in terms of the NTIA criteria, we are not dealing with an intergovernmental organization. We certainly are relying on the multi-stakeholder model. You could probably make a better case as to how this maintains the security, stability, and resilience of the DNS. But it's a question about the C, the customers. I didn't understand what you're saying in your last paragraph. You say the registries at the beginning of the proposal development process were declined to keep the status quo with no big structural changes. What does that mean exactly? Declined to keep the status quo?
It must be inclined.
Inclined, okay,
yeah.
Okay, inclined to keep the status quo.
Yeah.
Now, I was, I think that some of the registries were that way. clearly not all of them, because we had a number of CCTLDs supporting ContractCo, and I thought that there was a lot of debate about that. I just wondered why you characterized it that way.
Wolf, do you have a response?
Well, anyway, I could edit that.
You're muted.
I could propose edits to that online. I guess it's not necessary to discuss it here. Now that I know what you mean, we could discuss that online. I'm finished.
Thanks, Milton. I had a question, Wolf Ulrich. I'm not entirely clear on your, the kind of one item that you called out in RFP requirement number 3 when you talk about the frame proposal versus the transition plan to a successor IANA functions operator and that not being necessarily defined prior to the transition itself. So when you talk about the transition plan, would that be a transition plan away from the PTI if the community, you know, chose to not continue to use the PTI as the IANA functions operator, then there would need to be a transition plan defined to transition away from the PTI, or am I misunderstanding that? Sorry, I'm not totally familiar with all the details of the proposal.
So, roughly speaking, as I understand the proposal, and maybe Milton, you can, or one of the others who are members of this group can clarify that better. Well, but if I read that correctly, so it is in the chapter number 3, the framework for the transition to the successor IANA functions operator. So. So this is said, you know, there is this proposal can only comprise or can outline a framework for this transition to that operator. But the framework, it's just a framework, as it is said, but it must be further developed in more details. And this will take as a guess around 18 months to develop that. And so this is the question: whether this has an impact on the plan itself, or does it is just a placeholder for something which is to be developed, isn't there a need to have some more details already in place in order to make clear to the NTIA what's going to be expected? So this is my question here.
Okay, thank you. I understand that better. Are there other folks on the call who have questions or comments on Wolf Ward's pre-assessment? Or other thoughts about anything we might want to ask or liaise to the CWG based on your own individual readings of the names proposal at this point? Okay. I mean, from where I sit, I do think this question about the level of detail in the proposal is certainly a relevant one, but I also, just from being on mailing lists and so forth, appreciate that a lot of the details are still being worked out and that the members of the group are highly aware that there's, more detail needed and on its way. So I don't think it is necessarily something for us to really ask about there, but I appreciate that it's an outstanding question. I don't see any other hands, so I think we can thank you. Oh, do I see one more hand? I do. Kavu.
I think the assessment is based on the status of the proposal in public comments, what has been done, prejudge the comments which could be made by community in respect of any of these answers that the reviewer has been replied with certainty, without putting any room that it depends on the judgment of the community. Perhaps this sort of the review should be repeated at least once the public comment received and the reviewer knows the views of others, but not on its own judgment. Thank you. Personal judgment.
Thank you, Caboose. I think that's roughly what people were expecting, that this is just, us trying to get ahead of things and see if there was anything that we needed to ask or do at this point, and it seems that that there is not. So I think we can move on to the next agenda item. Okay, so the next agenda item concerns the response that we got from Steve Crocker about our statement on contracts and other agreements, and you've all seen it on the list, and it's here on the screen as well. You know, the answer that we got back from Steve is that the ICRAN essentially agrees with the statement that we made and is committing to making its positions publicly known within the community processes. So I didn't see any reactions to this on the list, and just wanted to check and see if there's anything else that people think we need to do. I could certainly send Steve an acknowledgement, which I haven't done yet, but that's just an administrative thing. But wanted to open this up for discussion in case there's more that people wanted to talk about related to the response. A hand from Daniel, but it went down. Daniel, did you want to say something?
Maybe we can make this very short. I think it's a quite straightforward and good answer, and we should thank the chair of the ICANN board for giving us that answer and move on.
Thanks. That works for me. And I see support for that in the chat room as well. So, okay. Well, I will do that then. That was easy enough. So we can move on to, I think, what we have next is minutes approval, doing our call in reverse order today. All right, so we're looking at the minutes from the last call that we had on April 22. These have been out for quite some time, so hopefully people have had a chance to take a look. So at this point, I would ask if there are objections to publishing these minutes. All right. Hearing no objections, I think we can consider the minutes approved and ask the secretary to get them posted. Thanks. And then our last agenda item is about future scheduling of conference calls and meetings. We've had a bunch of doodle polls out, so we wanted to just circle back on this. Patrick, did you want to take this one or you want me to take it?
I think you can take it. I'm sorry, it took some time to get out of mute, so please continue.
Okay, so we doodled for a couple of calls coming up, just knowing that we have, a few ongoing items to discuss. I think the discussion today of the NTIA response is good, and we can continue that with a back to our shorter one-hour call next week. Hopefully, we'll have some more meat on the bones in terms of this question about implementation, and we can, perhaps use that call to finalize what it is that we want to ask the communities for input about. So that will be our next call next Wednesday. I had just looked at the doodle polls to figure out a time right before this call, so you haven't received an announcement yet, but the secretary will send out all the usual announcements and calendar invites and so forth. So that's the call next week. And then if we flip down to June, you can see we also doodled for a call on June 10th, and that we have booked as a two-hour call. I think that worked well today. I realize we're not going to use the full 2 hours today, but I think it's good for us to be able to use the extra time. We almost always go over the one-hour slot. And as we prepare for Buenos Aires, we'll probably have a few more things to discuss, especially after the comment periods for the naming groups. We might have, you know, more to discuss regarding these timeline issues and so forth. So we've booked a two-hour call for the 10th. Then we have our face-to-face meeting just prior to the ICANN meeting. We have the ICANN meeting week. And then we still have our, we have sort of a working session booked for the 26th. Is it booked for the 26th or that was booked for the 26th? I think it's actually listed incorrectly on this calendar. I think it's on that Thursday of the ICANN meeting. We have a working session booked in the morning to, you know, do any kind of wrap up, have any kind of wrap up discussion that we might need at the ICANN meeting. Again, as we discussed last time, we won't be taking any decisions at that meeting. It's just time we put on the agenda so that we can get back together at the end of the meeting, and I'm sure we'll probably have things to discuss. And then if we go to July, we have also booked in our first call for after the Buenos Aires meeting as a 2.5-hour call for July 8th. And this is, you know, again, the secretariat will send out the usual calendar information and so forth. So on the theory that we will have received a names proposal during the ICANN meeting, this will be an intensive working session for us to try and work through our own assessment of the proposal. And hopefully people will have had, you know, time to look at it after the ICANN meeting, but before this longer call. So this is booked as a 2.5-hour call right now for after the ICANN meeting. All of this obviously subject to change. If we don't feel that we need the time, we can always cancel these things, but we thought that we should put them on the agenda to make sure that we have the time for it. So any questions or comments on the future call and meeting schedule? So Luz.
That's anything after ICANN 63 is provisional, subject to the needs and subject to the further provision. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. We wanted to put it down so that people reserve it in their calendars, but we'll have to make a decision later in June about whether we need the time or not. Other comments, questions? Martin.
Thanks, Alyssa. It's Martin here. Just can we go back to the meeting at the end of June? Because it looked to me like at the end of the ICANN week, we'd originally spoken about this being on the Thursday. Yes, I see that has now been slipped to the Friday.
It's actually on Thursday. It's just listed incorrectly on this calendar. It's on Thursday.
Right. Okay, yeah. I'm relieved. Thank you.
Yeah.
No problem.
Me too. I'm leaving on Thursday night, so it's on Thursday.
Ditto.
Daniel.
Is it already confirmed that we'll have remote participation possibilities for the meeting on that Thursday, the 25th of June?
I think so. The Secretariat folks have a definitive answer on that. Yes.
Thank you, Josh. And then I have a second question, question for clarification. What does provisional mean for, you know, after the ICANN meeting? We all have full calendars, and I would very much welcome if we had meeting slots for the discussion of the CWG proposal, assuming that we get it officially already booked. I think it would be not be very useful to do this ad hoc at the end of June, because it might give people conflict. It certainly will give me conflict, but I'd like to be able to plan ahead like four or 6 weeks if possible.
So you're saying beyond the July 8th call, you want the calls following the July 8th call to get booked this far in advance as well?
Yes, I would. I would prefer that, and I would also. It was also a reaction on Cavus's intervention, who said everything's provisional after June, which sort of gave me the impression like, oh yeah, we'll plan July at the end of June, which is not practical.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we're happy to doodle for the calls after July 8th if that makes it easier for people's calendars. We really wanted to do that one because we knew it would be long, and we can look into setting up polls for July, the rest of July, and maybe the beginning of August. And then cancel.
I would support that. We can always cancel a meeting. It's much easier to cancel a meeting that's scheduled than in my calendar, or in people's calendar, I'm sorry, than to schedule one on short notice.
Okay. Unless someone objects to that, I think maybe Patrick, can you take an action or work with the Secretariat on call scheduling for July and August?
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks. Any other comments on the upcoming calendar? Okay, great. Then I believe we are done with this call. Maybe 90 minutes is our sweet spot. I guess we'll find out. I think longer calls. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We'll talk to you next week.